Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Compulsive behaviors eventually become addictions. Whether to drugs, alcohol, gambling, or pornography, people become trapped and cannot find a way out. Today, how the grace of God provides the way out all of us need. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues the series on the power of a clear conscience. We've come to message number 5, where we'll learn about the truth that hurts and heals.
I actually read about a cocaine addict in New York who was in a room and decided to chain himself to a radiator so that he wouldn't go down on the street and do more coke. But apparently he was able to get the radiator broken and at least a piece of it, so that he was able to take it back out on the street carrying this heavy metal chained to it, and said, "Coke has a voice, and when it calls, I must go." Wow. But you know, it's not only cocaine that has a voice, it's alcoholism, it's gambling, it's pornography, various sexual addictions, and it's also self-righteousness that is an addiction, if you can believe it, where we think that we really don't need as much grace as other people. Well, this is a series of messages entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. And of course, it's really not possible to have a clear conscience if you are struggling with reoccurring sin and always losing the battle. That's why it's necessary, as a part of this series, for me to speak about addictions. And remember our key verse. I hope that you've all memorized it by now. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. "For the aim of our instruction is love flowing from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith." What we're after is a good conscience. Now I'm going to make some introductory comments, 5 very briefly, before we turn to the text of Scripture. First of all, let me say that this is going to be a message about grace. When it comes to dealing with addictions, people don't need any more condemnation. They already feel it. That defiled conscience reminds them that there's a part of them that is constantly being defeated. And so what we need is grace. And at the end of this message, it is my intention to show you God's grace and to leave you there and me there, where we all need to be. Second word by way of intro is that we are all prone to be addicts. We're all prone to be addicts. We all love something more than we should. Ezekiel the prophet spoke about people who put up idols in their hearts. So we'll discover that some addictions are very obvious and known, but there are some that are subtle. So rather than us thinking of the fact that there are some addicts around us, maybe sitting next to us, why don't we think in terms of a continuum and know that all of us struggle with sin at some level? And by the way, speaking of addictions, it's possible, it's almost not an exaggeration to say that almost every family in America has been affected by addiction. And so let's not fool ourselves. Let's talk about the fact that our sinful nature, the default position, is toward addiction. There's a third point that needs to be made as we begin, and that is critical. Grace does not enter closed doors. Doesn't enter closed doors. As I speak today, you may be sitting there and already within your mind you're having rationalizations and reasons why you are the way you are and why you cannot afford to change. Well, God's grace is open and it is wide, but the problem is that oftentimes we don't recognize that. And will you keep in mind that we expect not merely a challenge today, There's a young man at prayer meeting who preached this week and said that he's not interested in challenge, he's interested in change. And that's what I'm interested in. When I was younger, which was quite a long time ago, I used to think that if I just lay out what people have to do, they can get rid of their addictions, memorize these verses, learn these principles, go home, apply them. Well, now I know that sin is more deeply entrenched. The rationalizations of the human heart go down to bedrock. Excuses abound, blindness all over the place. All that I can do is point the way and lead you to grace and leave you there. Next, addiction has many causes. Your home, for example, if you're brought up in an addicted home, whether it's alcoholism or other things, you may actually have what is sometimes referred to as an addictive personality. So it may be your home. It may be your friends who led you into drugs. This past week, I read about that, where a guy said that at work, they began to introduce him to it. And, you know, addictions always make life go along much better until life goes along much worse, and then you become hooked. So the point is that it may be friends, but the real problem is you and me. It's your home, it's your friends, but at the end of the day, it's your heart. Someone has said that an addiction is an illusionary promise creating a world of escape. You go into a world of pleasurable sensations. Promises like a god, but in the end, pays like a devil. Finally, in terms of the intro, there are many, many different matches, if I can use that illustration, that inflame addictions. First of all, you have accessibility. That's one of the reasons that pornography has grown so much as a result of the internet. Accessibility, drugs are accessible. Not only that, there are now people who have a gambling addiction because you can gamble online. Accessibility, secrecy, very important so that the shame remains hidden. Self-deception. The best definition of addiction I think I've ever read is a short one. I'm not sure exactly who said it. But he said that it is really the blinding absorption of sin. Oh my, is that accurate? The blinding absorption of sin. You can't really find an alcoholic who can really see the devastation he is doing to his own life, to what is he doing to his family and to his children, because there is so much denial and blindness that we simply can't see it in our own little selfish world. So there's deception. There's escape. I've talked to people who say that all during the week they're thinking about what they're going to do on the weekend. It fuels them. It draws them. And so they put up with work because what they're really living for is the weekend when they can finally do what they want to do. And this is the world of escape. Life is hard. And so what you want to do is to find a place of euphoria. A place where you are in a trance, where nothing else matters except the fulfillment of these desires. All consequences are blotted out of your mind. I'll shake hands with the devil and walk with him over the bridge, and then I'll deal with the consequences later. A world of escape, a world of shame that keeps people bound. Well, all that by way of introduction, I'm going to ask you now to take your cell phones, if you would please, and turn with me to the eighth chapter of the book of John. The eighth chapter of the book of John. I decided this week, if you can't lick them, you might as well join them. And those of you who actually have your Bibles that you brought from home, the two or three of you that did that, you can turn to John chapter 8, or there is also a Bible in the pew, in the seat in front of you. John chapter 8, I'm beginning at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed on him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Let's just look at the passage for a moment. I think that the people who believed on Jesus in verse 31 are probably true believers. And Jesus is saying to them, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Now, I think that there was a larger crowd out there who was overhearing what Jesus would say to his disciples. And so it may be that they are the ones who say, "We are offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How do you say we shall become free? What do we need to become free of? We're Abraham's offspring." Jesus uses an illustration they'd be acquainted with. "Truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." What a powerful statement. "But the slave does not remain in the house forever. A slave can be bought, can be sold, can be traded. But a son abides permanently. And so if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I hope that you understand, and I'm sure that as you listen to Running to Win, you realize that I enjoy preaching. And the reason is, I love to explain the gospel to people. I love to help people and to be able to help them to understand that Jesus Christ came to set us free. Sometimes we don't experience that freedom because of our own rebellion, our own unwillingness to really seriously face the issues. Sometimes it may also be because of the fact we do not understand the filling of the Spirit. In short, we do not understand the resources that God has given to us that we might be free. This series of messages is entitled "The Power of a Clear Conscience," and I've preached it with deep conviction, believing that God wants us to move beyond where we are in our Christian life. If I might speak very directly, some of you perhaps are stuck. You just can't get beyond certain issues. You can't get beyond the injustice that was done to you or the injustice that you did to somebody else. That's why we talk about human relationships. We speak about the need to resolve issues within our hearts and minds and even with others. Only then can we be truly free, free indeed. Lay hold of that promise and go with it today. We can be free indeed.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Truth That Hurts and Heals, the fifth in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Addicts are trapped in habits they can't break. Next time, why Jesus is the one who can set them free. Your support makes Running to Win possible. And to say thanks for your gift of any amount, we'd like to send you Dr. Lutzer's life-changing book, The Power of a Clear Conscience. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.